I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, we go from another Twins victory to rolling into late night. And it's time to, well, give out a few more winners for the listening audience here. Our regular segment, typically at Friday on Friday at 11:30, is Lake's Big Bet with Jeff Madej from Canterbury Park, who joins us now. We bumped it back just a few minutes. We're a little bit short, and we'll blame the Minnesota Twins. We actually won't blame them since they won tonight. You know, they add a little bit more of a cushion to their lead in the American League West, but American League Central division. Now I'm trying to put us out there in L.A., Jeff.
Maybe you're an L.A. guy. I don't know.
But, No.
It doesn't take you long to give out winners, so it doesn't matter the length of the segment. It's the quality of the segment.
It is the quality of the segment. All right, so now I guess the first thing that we should do is I'm not going to say that we should just go ahead and put too much of a pat on our backs, but we should at least mention that we went 4-for-4 last week.
Yeah, and actually, you know, someone mentioned that to me. They'd been listening to the show, and we gave out a horse, a filly named Got Stormy, a mare against the boys. Coming back on, I think, 7 days rest or something. Someone asked me if I was nuts. And we got paid, $14 winner. So that's a horse that will be headed towards the Breeders' Cup. So that was a nice score there.
It's always good to give out winners. And last week we went 4-for-4. We gave out Bricks and Mortar in the Arlington Million. We gave out Got Stormy. So we're just giving out. Hopefully, I don't want to jinx it. Hopefully we can give out a few more winners. We got three races that we'll look at here in just a second. But tell me, what's on the schedule? What we got cooking at Canterbury Park here over the next week?
Well, the next week it should be a lot of fun. Now, Sunday, of course, we've got racing tomorrow at 12:45. We've got racing on Sunday at the same time, but we also have corgis in the mix. And, Henry, I didn't know anything about corgi dogs, but they're evidently extremely popular. The first year we did it, I believe this is the fourth year. The first year we did it, we thought, you know, we'll have an average day, you know, 6,000, 7,000, 8,000 maybe. We added cupcakes to that mix. We had close to 17,000 people. Got absolutely run over. And it's been like that every year since. So I never knew that the corgis were that popular. But it's a fun day for people to bring their families out. They get some great racing, and then they get the entertainment of these dogs running down the racetrack as well. So that's a fun one. But next week, Henry, Indian Horse Relay, which it's hard to describe it. You almost have to see it. But this is the sixth year we've been doing this in conjunction with the Shakopee, Midwacket, and Sioux community, who, of course, own and operate Mystic Lake Casino. But it is bareback racing, and there'll be 15 teams from tribes across the Northwest, all the way to Idaho, Montana, Washington, both Dakotas. And it's a pretty wild sport to watch. You call it probably the oldest sport in the Americas. It's more than 400 years old, and dates back to the days when the horse was so important to these tribes, and it was measured not just of your integrity, but also of your wealth. So, and that tradition is carried forward. So you get to see these teams that these kids come to Shakopee to compete, and there's some serious purse money involved. But the way it works, Henry, they go around our mile track riding bareback. They've got the four teams, each has three horses. They do a standing start, they go around, and when they come back, they dismount, they jump off of one horse, bounce off the ground, hop up onto the other one. So there's a teams of four people. There's a guy called the holder. He holds the horses. That's fine. There's a setup guy who's holding the horse that the rider's going to jump onto. Then there's the crazy guy called the mugger, and he catches the horse that comes flying in on the run. And it's high-flying action. A lot of stuff going on. You have to see it words don't do it justice. You've got to see it, but it's a pretty cool event, and we've been lucky to get some good crowds, and the more people see it, I think the more exciting it gets. But they'll be racing Thursday night, Friday night, and then the championships on Saturday when we race at 5 o'clock next Saturday. So that's something that you can only go to the state fair so many times, so you'll carve out a little space to get to Canterbury yet as the meet comes to a conclusion on September 14th. But next week, Indian Horse Relay, you haven't seen it, put it on the calendar and get out here.
I'm with you. And I that is something I did want to know. I think that a lot of people, I know that we have the great Minnesota get together and we all love the fair, right? We'll be at the fair, CCO, all the stations will be at the fair. Everybody's going to be at the fair hanging out, grabbing Sweet Martha's cookies and all the different items that you want to partake in and the beverages. But don't forget about Canterbury Park. Canterbury Park is not going anywhere. It is open and it is, you know, if you want to go out there and place wagers, go out there and place wagers. If you want to go out there and hang out and have fun, yes, because you're right. There's only so many days that most people are going to head out to the great Minnesota get together.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've got some state fair type food out at our place as well. So if you want to come out and have a good time, you certainly can do that at the park. And those are going to be the corgi dogs on Sunday and this Indian horse relay next Thursday, Friday, and Saturday is well worth it.
Yep.
So that make sure they get out. And there'll be some good winners there too. And we'll get together next week and give them some winners for next Saturday.
No question. All right, let's go ahead and dive into the three races that we have at three different tracks over the course of the next 6 minutes or so. Let's start with a track, Colonial Downs, that's just reopening, and talk about what they have. They have a 6-furlong stakes race, the Chesapeake. What are your thoughts on that being race number 5 tomorrow?
Well, the reason I tossed this one your way, Henry, is because there's a local connection in this race. Minnesota-bred Mr. Jägermeister. He's a 4-year-old colt who's won close to $400,000. He was one of the fastest horses in the country. Ran second to a horse named Matoli, who we talked about a number of weeks ago, who at that time was the fastest sprinter in the country. And this horse ran second to Matoli. I mean, it was well beaten, but ran fast and came back to Canterbury to be the horse of the meet. But had a little bit of a setback this year after a big win at Oaklawn. Comes off the layoff. The trainer Val Lund, who's been at Canterbury now for several years, has been training Mr. Jägermeister here in Shakopee, thought enough to put this horse on a trailer on Wednesday morning and take that 1,250-mile trip out to Virginia, to Colonial Downs, to run in this $100,000 race. So if she thinks Mr. Jägermeister is ready, I know how good he is. He's versatile, he's fast, and he can finish like a freight train. I think he's got a major chance to win the Chesapeake.
I absolutely am rolling with you on Mr. Jägermeister, because the morning light favorite is Petrov, the 6-horse, at 9-5, and I don't see it. Like, I get it that this horse may be one of the classier horses in this field, but if you look at what it's done in stakes races, I just don't, on the past performances, there's no way I could wager 9-5 or 2-1 on this horse. I'm going to go with the Minnesota bred horse, Mr. Jägermeister.
No, I agree. And as we've said before, the key to racing, to doing well in racing when you're betting on horses, is to find vulnerable favorites. I think I'm with you. Petrov is vulnerable. He was good as a 3-year-old. That was 2 years ago when he was on the road to the Kentucky Derby. Didn't get that far, but that's where he earned a lot of his credentials. I think he's vulnerable here. We'll take it to Mr. Jägermeister, and that race goes off at about 6:00 tomorrow night. So if you're out at the park, you can just stick around and make a little play on Mr. Jägermeister.
All right, so let's go to Saratoga now, race number 10. It is the Alabama, and they are running for $600,000, and this is a grade 1 race. What did you make of this particular race?
Oh, we always have to look at one of your favorite tracks, Saratoga, and you like New York racing in general. This is another stepping stone to bigger things down the road. The Alabama features the best 3-year-old fillies in the country. Dunbar Road is the favorite on the rail, won the Mother Goose at Belmont, but I thought that was a fairly weak effort. And, you know, I'm going to take a little bit of a shot here with the number 2, Lady Apple, who just won down in Des Moines in the Iowa Oaks, coming off of a layoff, hadn't run since May when it ran third in the Kentucky Oaks, which is the race that's the filly version of the Kentucky Derby. So a super important race for trainers and owners to try to win. And she did not embarrass herself there. She ran big in Iowa. Steve Asmussen shipped her out to New York. He's given her 3 good workouts. I think this horse is ready to step forward. Absolutely is bred to get this mile and a quarter distance. And you're going to get 6 to 8 to 1 on Lady Apple.
I think that Lady Apple is a great bet as well. I'm absolutely using Lady Apple. I will be boxing Lady Apple with, clearly the favorite, Dunbar Road. But the horse that I'm actually leaning towards playing in terms of a win place show wager is Point of Honor. And it's funny because Lady Apple is out of Curling, and so is Point of Honor. And those happen to be the 2 horses that I like the most in this race. I just really like, if you look at Point of Honor, this horse has done absolutely nothing wrong. I do think that Lady Apple, though, is going to be, you know, towards the front and could get a great trip there on the front end if nobody really goes to, like, challenge Lady Apple and could probably sneak away. But I'm going to definitely use it, too, but I'm going to go with the 7, Point of Honor.
I can't blame you. The horse certainly is, you know, is lightly raced. She's won 3 of 5 starts, has banked a decent amount of money, and has that good closing running style. I think the winner, the second place finish at Saratoga, and that trip over the racetrack can always be something important. I think Point of Honor is absolutely one that can win this. And fabulous race. These are some of the best fillies in the country here that we're going to see converging on the Breeders' Cup eventually this fall.
All right, let's spend the final 2 minutes on attacking the big race of the weekend. That is the Pacific Classic. It's Grade 1 race out at Del Mar for $1 million, $1 million. You got 10 horses here. Where do you lean?
I'm not super creative in this race. I've got the second choice in the morning line, number 3, Pavel, who has gone over to Dubai a couple times to run in the $12 million World Cup, and he's run well there. He always come back off of that trip and done well, and a lot of horses don't do that. He's had two starts at Belmont. Now they come back to Del Mar, where the horse has been working pretty well. I think you're going to get a tracking trip. Had been on the outside post positions in the last two races, now moves into the 3 post. I think that 3 or 4 to 1 seems pretty fair on this horse. Granted, he doesn't win often, but when he does, he wins impressively. I think he fits here, and I think he's going to peak at Del Mar tomorrow in the Pacific Classic.
The horse that I'm going with is a horse that I've been a fan of ever since he helped me win some exotics money when he had a phenomenal race in the Preakness just a year ago, and that's Tenfold, the 7 horse. He's going off at 8 to 1, and he's been very inconsistent. Inconsistent in that he runs a great race, and then he kind of, you know, doesn't run right back to that race, and he struggles a bit. That was the case last time out at Churchill Downs in the Stephen Foster, the Grade 2 race there at Churchill Downs. He did not run good at all. He was never involved in the race, never got going. And the race before that, and maybe he just likes Pimlico that much, but he won at 5 to 1 in the special there, which was a Grade 3. I'm going to go back to Tenfold, and I think that this horse is going to be serious and about its business tomorrow. It's a big time. It's $1 million. And when you're talking about $1 million race, who better to have on your horse than Mike Smith? So I'm going with Asmussen and Mike Smith to get it done.
Yeah, big money Mike Smith. If he ends up in the winner's circle in $1 million race, no one should ever be surprised. The
exactly.
Guy can smell money and he can get to the wire. So why not? Why not Tenfold? He'll get overlooked. And if you can get that one there, you'll get a $20 mutual, I'm guessing.
No question about it. All right, Jeff, great stuff as always, man. And actually, I think next week you're going to be chatting with Eric Nelson instead of me because I'm going to be getting prepared for the State Fair on Saturday.
All right, well, Eric and I will give out some winners to your faithful listeners, and we hope to see them all off the racetrack.
And I'm going to text you my winners. How about we do that?
Fair enough. I like it.
All right, let's give out some winners, man. I'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Thanks, Henry.
All right, that's Jeff Bidet from Canterbury Park. That's all we do is give out winners here on the show. All you do is win, 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 no matter what. All right, coming up next, speaking of winners, SEC Country, a funny story that you don't want to miss. We get to that next year on Lake Night. All right, the final hour here of Lake Night on News Talk 830 WCCO. Before we get to a funny story that's SEC football related, the first thing I want to do is say congratulations, give props to the kids from Coon Rapids, Andover. In the Little League World Series opener that they had today, they won 2-1, defeating a team from Kentucky. So congratulations to those young kids, man. That's awesome. It had been a while since the state of Minnesota had been represented in the Little League World Series, and man, nice start. That's awesome. They got rained out yesterday. They had to push it back a day. Didn't slow them down.
No, not at all.
Slow them down.
That's pretty cool. I mean, number one, getting to the Little League World Series, but then you got to wait the extra day to play, mm-hmm. where you're already excited. And I mean, you know, kids just get, excited over this because this is a once in a lifetime.
I get excited.
Yeah,
I'm excited for him right now.
But to go out there and that defensive play that ended like the fifth inning, that shortstop diving to his left, it's incredible. I mean, that's a highlight play. When they run the highlight reel at the end of the Little League World Series,
mm-hmm.
that's going to be one of those that's going to be in that highlight reel. That's fantastic. So, hey, good luck. Go get Virginia on Sunday morning.
I know. You know what? I miss what time is that game starting? Is it starting at
I think it's like 10
noon?
O'clock.
Oh, it's that early?
I think it's at 10 o'clock, yeah.
All right. Yeah, but congratulations to those kids, man. That's fun. And it was a low-scoring game. So every defensive play absolutely mattered. They won 2-1.
Didn't they say the team from Minnesota only had two hits? I thought I heard that. I haven't looked at the box score, but I thought I heard that earlier tonight where they only had two hits. But it doesn't matter how many hits you get. As long as you have more runs, it don't matter. So that was awesome.
As long as you advance and get to the next
survive game.
Survive in advance. I know, man. But that's just fun. Because I've seen a lot of times where, because I know specifically there are a couple of times when I was in Kansas City where I'm rooting for the team from Minnesota to advance and to get into the Little League World Series, and they just couldn't get there. They just couldn't get out. And that's just, that's unfortunate, man.
Yeah, this is the third time that I've been in a media market that the team has gone to the Little League World Series. It happened in South Dakota when a team from Rapid City, and then I was in Columbia, Missouri, and there was a team from Missouri that made it to the Little League World Series.
Nice.
So hopefully this is a continuation of that, and especially, our home state, Minnesota, it means a little bit more.
Yeah, it does. It does. So congratulations and good luck to those kids on Sunday. Now, SEC football is next level. All right, I'm just going to call it for what it is. SEC football is something else. Like, we take great pride in being a member of the Big Ten, but SEC football is different. This is different. And this is from firsthand experience. I've been to SEC football games. It's different, man. Like, there's no college football games with the type of swagger and energy and just everything about it, tailgating experience. SEC football is on another level than everybody else. That's just the way that it is. And people could say that, that the athletes and the players are better in the SEC. But look, it's more competitive than the other conferences, but just everything that surrounds SEC football is different. But also the fandom is different. Okay, the fandom can be different. Like, it's more intense. And I'm not saying in a good way. I'm talking about in a bad way. Like, SEC football fans get crazy.
Is it more of a live and die by their team?
Yes, and they do stupid stuff. It's like the people in Texas. People in Texas, man, they love the football. I don't care where you live in Texas. They love them. They love some football. We talk about colleges and how colleges, small colleges, will kind of really rally behind their football teams. There are high schools in Texas whose stadiums will crush a bunch of these colleges. High schools now. Like, it's no joke. You guys have heard these stories for years, and it's all true. They take it serious. All right, SEC football. Everybody knows that when it comes to SEC football, the leader in the clubhouse when it comes, when we're talking about just fans as being out of this world crazy, are Alabama fans. Roll Tide. They love Alabama football. And Bear Bryant and everything about Alabama football. And they love Saban. Down there, they want Saban to run for president. Seriously. I mean, Alabama fans are just, and so they have rivalries with teams, and they're going back and forth. And their number one rival is Auburn. We get that. But when you're an Alabama fan, you're going to find some way to hate everybody in the SEC. That's just how it is. Like, it's not that way for every SEC institution, but if you're an Alabama fan, you hate everybody. Okay? Because everybody's in your way to a national championship. The name Harvey Updike, he is an Alabama fan who years ago pleaded guilty to poisoning famous oak trees on the campus of Auburn University. All right, that happened 6 years ago. Well, he's back in the news because he has not been making court-ordered payments and is being summoned back to court to address the matter. Lee County District Attorney Brandon Hughes says that Updike will need to appear in court in Lee County on October the 30th to explain why he's been missing monthly payments toward the, listen to this, toward the $800,000 in restitution he was ordered to pay after spending more than 70 days in jail in 2013. So not only did he spend 70 days in jail in 2013, but he was ordered to pay $800,000 in restitution. Updike has paid less than $5,000, and he's often been missing monthly payments on the regular. The installment started out at $500 a month, but were lowered to accommodate Updike's financial situation. So look, they started out saying, "Dude, you need to pay us $500 a month," okay? But they lowered that to accommodate his financial situation. Now, think about this for a second. So $500 a month, okay? $500 a month, which means that he was scheduled to make payments of $6,000 a year, right?
Correct, yes.
Okay, so wait, how many years do they think that he was going to live to pay all of this stuff off? Seriously.
So he's got $800,000 that he had to pay off.
Yep. Divide that by 6,000.
That is 133.33333 years. 133. $800,000.
This from All right, so this quote is from the district attorney, Brandon Hughes. Harvey Updike has never left my radar. We have been keeping an eye on his payments, or more specifically, his non-payment, and he has made exactly two payments for a total of $200 in the last year. Because of that, we have been looking for him to close to a year, and we finally found him.
I appreciate them going on the income-driven plan, kind of like most of us try our student loans, but I just somehow don't think that – couldn't he get it garnished? Like out of his paycheck, kind of like people have like insurance or child support or something. Couldn't that have been an option? But 133, I mean.
But what, I mean, you can come to an agreement on something, but if the money's not there, the money's not there. He clearly doesn't have the money. Toomer's Corner is a gathering place for Auburn fans that features the oak tree fans traditionally roll toilet paper around following football victories. Updike, who's 70 right now, was also given a 3-year split sentence with 5 years probation. His probation has ended, and the former Texas trooper now lives in Louisiana.
There's a lot of moving pieces.
He posted a Facebook video recently saying his monthly rent was going up almost $200. Okay, okay. Harvey, man. Harvey, you got to do better, man. You never should have poisoned those trees. But just in case people here locally aren't aware of Harvey Updike. This is how it got out anyway, that he had poisoned the trees. So, you know how some fans just don't give a damn? They just don't give a damn. Their fan and their fandom, they just don't care. Well, he called into Paul Feinbaum's show. So, Paul Feinbaum, everybody knows he's on ESPN now, but years ago he wasn't on ESPN. He was, you know, he's a local radio guy, whatever, talking football and talking SEC country. So, he had a regular radio show. He called into Feinbaum's show, and he went on a rant and outed himself and literally told the world what he did.
This year, I was at the Iron Bowl.
Okay.
And I saw where they put a Scam Newton jersey on Bear Bryant's statue.
Okay, and again, that's 28 years later.
Okay, well, let me tell you what I did. The weekend after the Iron Bowl, I went to Auburn, Alabama, because I live 30 miles away, sure. And I poisoned the two tumors trees.
Okay, well, that's fair.
I put Spike 80 DL in them.
Did they die?
Do what?
Did they die?
They're not dead yet, but they definitely will die.
Is that against the law to poison a tree?
Well, do you think I care?
No.
Okay, I really don't.
Okay.
Roll damn tide.
You think I care? Roll damn tide. I'm telling you, they different down there, man. Did you hear that? He says, do you think that that's against the law? That's what Fine Bob said. Don't you think that's a, you think I care? Roll damn tide.
That is a serial killer telling you how he committed the murder and telling you that this is how the victim is going to die.
That, hey, by the way.
That is scary, man. He was just like.
I need you to cut that because that's going on the hotkeys. That's going on the button bar.
Roll damn tide?
No, the part where he says, you think I care? Roll damn tide.
I can do that.
We got to get that. We got to get him and we got to get Phyllis. Do you know about Phyllis?
No, Phyllis, no.
The crazy, she's the crazy fan too down there? Oh my. Phyllis.
Do I just Google Phyllis Alabama fan and it'll come up?
In the break, we will look it up.
Okay.
She would go after Colin Cowherd all the time. Oh my.
I might know it, but.
Cowherd, let me tell you something.
Oh, it sounds like you're getting into a Hulk Hogan promo there.
No, that sounds like Phyllis.
That's, oh, Phyllis.
Yeah, she ain't no joke, man. Huh. Don't mess with that lady.
See, now I got to Google it. Google her up.
Yeah, we'll get to that here coming up next. All right, hey, speaking of what we have coming up next, there's some more audio that we have to dive into because, well, quite frankly, I've always been a big collector as a kid when it comes to baseball cards, and wait till you hear two Major League Baseball announcers and broadcasters actually eat the bubble gum from PAX 29 years ago. We get to that next year on Lake Night. All right, welcome back to Lake Night here on News Talk 830 WCCO. I can't wait till we start playing some Phyllis. Because in the break there, yeah, see, look at you feel, are you traumatized? Are you traumatized by Phyllis?
Dude, I'm scared, man. I mean,
do we need an in-studio appearance by Phyllis?
Oh, no. No, 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 I.
Oh, she would have, she'd be chasing you around this damn room.
Oh, she would eat me up.
She would eat you alive.
Oh, she would.
Kiss my butt. Roll tide.
She'd have to come up with some really cool, insulting, backhanded nickname for me,
though. Hey, man, Alabama fans are different.
Boy,
man.
They, yeah, I knew
SEC that... fans are different.
Boy.
They different, man. And I ain't saying in the best of ways. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
They ain't all bad.
I'm not gonna sleep tonight. After hearing that, I mean, that's going to be ringing in my head's going to be on the pillow.
I can't believe that's your first time hearing Phyllis.
I've never heard Phyllis. That is the first time hearing Phyllis. Yeah. Thank you.
You're going to have nightmares tonight. I'm sorry.
Oh, boy.
I apologize.
I'm going to have to watch some, like, Saw or Stephen King or something to make me feel better because I'm scared.
Were you a baseball card collector growing up as a kid?
Oh, I love baseball. I was a huge collector.
Okay, all right.
Huge collector.
So I was a collector as well. I collected baseball cards and basketball cards. I wasn't necessarily into football cards like that. I don't know why. I don't know why I never really got into football cards like that. Like, I eventually got to football cards, but it was more about, like, in the summertime, being a kid in the cities and you're growing up, and me and my boys would go down to Shinders, and we'd stand in Shinders and we'd rummage through the cards and try to find, you know, a couple of rookies and look at some other, you know, guys that we said, you know what, his card's really cheap right now, but I think he's gonna be something, and let's get his stock really, really low, and it'll be something one day, right? So you do that, and then of course, you're rolling the dice. You're like, yeah, we got to get some packs, you know? And then eventually, I started, like, when it came to the money that was being spent, yeah. It wasn't about packs. It was about boxes. buying them by the box.
Yeah. You buy.
Yeah, that's when you went to the next level.
You buy boxes and you sit there and you go through.
You go through the boxes.
And then you're like, okay, I open up all these. Then you figure out which ones you need, who you can trade. And then you got your doubles. Then you got your stars. And you're like, how can I sell these and what can I get? I mean, that's how I learned like negotiation.
Bro, that's how I went into college. So even in college, I was still collecting. Imagine that. Henry liked collecting cards even in college.
What?
I got my cousin, my older cousin, who we attended the same college. I got him into it so much that we would be sitting on his couch because he was a few years ahead of me in college. And we'd be sitting on his couch and we're going through trying to find refractors. Right? I mean, seriously.
Oh, refractors. Bro, now you're going old school.
Bro, it was insane. So let's think about it for a second. As a young kid, you're going through baseball cards and you're going through cards, and we all know that beyond the cards, there was the gum. Okay?
Oh, that had that little like white powdery stuff on it. That came in the tops. They were like an exclusive to tops.
Yep. They were in the packs, and so everybody knows about the gum that comes with the cards. Well, a couple of broadcasters, and I love this, for the San Diego Padres TV broadcast, Dan Orsillo and Mark Grant, okay, they did something on the telecast a week ago. And I just find it funny that they had old packs of cards, but with the packs of cards is the gum. And I've always wondered what the statute of limitation should be for all of us when it comes to chewing bubble gum out of baseball card packs. How many years is too much when you crack open a pack and try it? Well, I think that we found the answer, okay? So Grant and Orsillo, they have baseball card packs, and these packs that they opened were 29 years old. 29 years, almost 30 years. The gum is still there. They tried the gum. First, we get the reaction from Mark Grant. He tries the gum first.
Some flavors, artificial colors, and thank goodness for the BHT to maintain freshness.
Put it in your mouth. Yeah! That's awesome! How's it taste there, Chief?
Holy disgusting.
I bet you the card would taste better.
It's like disintegrating into powder.
All right, which does not shock me. It's probably disintegrating just literally as he's like the first bite. 29 years. But no. There. Because Grant did it, he said to his to his broadcast partner, he's like, nah, Don, you got to do the same damn thing. You better try this damn gun. Gum. Gun. Gum. And this is what it sounded like.
Just having one.
You have to try
it. No, I don't want to try it.
Oh,
I mean,
God.
What happens?
It just you have to. You're not going to die. It's
how
disgusting.
Do you know?
Just keep chewing.
It's only been a couple minutes. It's fine.
Yeah, right.
Actually, whoa.
Oh, gross. Isn't it? Oh, it's disgusting.
You got it.
Oh, my God. 29-year-old gum.
How disgusting. So this is what we're going to do here on Late Night. Okay? The next time that the Minnesota Twins have a four-game winning streak this year, okay? And I feel pretty confident that they'll have a four-game winning streak this year. The next time they do, I am going to go out and try to find a 30-year-old baseball card pack and have Chris Tubbs chew the gum in it.
Whoa.
That's what I'm going to do. Let's go, Twinkies. Let's go.
Wait a minute.
Let's go.
How good is our health insurance? What does our health insurance cover?
30-year-old pack?
Oh, God.
Chris Tubbs?
Does that even exist? I mean, you could find 20. Oh, man. You'd have to go back to like.
Are you rooting for the Twins to win?
Oh, 3 out of 4. 3 out of 4.
No, 4-game winning streak,
no,
baby.
We need 3 out of 4.
No.
Unless it's postseason. Then we'll go for.
Yep. Are we testing your fandom here?
No, you're not.
Sounds like it.
Tell my wife I love her. Oh, boy. Hey, you know, all right. I'll take one for the team.
Good.
Might not see me for a couple days, but I'll take one for the team.
Oh, man.
I don't even know if you can track down 30-year-old, like, bubblegum and baseball cards now.
You might be right.
You're going to, but it's going to come hell or high water. You're going to find something, aren't you?
I will.
I know you will.
Coming up next, one, well, I guess, disgraced Hall of Famer. Maybe I'm being a little bit too harsh on him. He's not disgraced. Well, yeah, he kind of is. I actually agree with his assessment with one situation. We get to that. And today's top story comes your way in 60 seconds on News Talk 830 WCCO. Chris, you can look up your health benefits and all that stuff after the show is over. Okay, you don't have to look them up right now. You'll be just fine. You'll be just fine.
I don't know what concerns me more, if it's whatever that mysterious white powder is that's on the gum, or if it's the wax from what they call the wax pack. I don't know. Or if it's the actual whatever's in the gum itself. So many levels of concern right now.
Hey, let's talk some NFL football. And it has to do, and it involves a feud between a current player and a former player. The former player would be Hall of Famer Warren Sapp. And he was who I was referring to as disgraced, you know, football player. Disgrace may be a little bit too harsh. Well, he had the stuff with the prostitution. And then after that, I think he was accused of something else. And so after like two accusations, well, number one, the prostitution thing, that stuck, because I don't know if he was caught on tape doing it or whatever. It was like, I think it was like a sting or something. He lost his job on NFL Network. And Warren Sapp was pretty funny, and I thought he was entertaining on NFL Network. Warren Sapp was always entertaining, even as a player. But Warren Sapp, bruh, got some issues. It involves him and Gerald McCoy, former Tampa Bay Buccaneers defensive tackle. And Warren Sapp is taking issue with McCoy's comments last month, claiming that he's a Ring of Honor caliber player. And the Bucs should not have given his number 93 jersey to Ndamukong Suh. Wow. Sapp said this. The thing that kind of threw me sideways was Gerald talking about now that this organization doesn't have a right to give away his 93 jersey, or it's business that they moved on. You know, they moved on. And then he wanted to say that Sapp, Brooks, Leroy, Lynch, Rondé, as in Rondé Barber, Derek Brooks, Leroy Selman, John Lynch, nobody wore their numbers. Last time I checked, those were Hall of Famers and champions. We didn't go to one playoff game with him, and not one damn divisional title. So I think he owes some of those $100 million back if you go give it to me in that sense. Now, that's some heat coming from Warren Sapp, because Warren Sapp's essentially saying, Gerald McCoy, you didn't win a damn thing as a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. So Gerald McCoy, he was released by the Bucs back in May, and he signed a one-year deal with the Carolina Panthers. In July, he appeared on FS1's Undisputed in July, saying he felt it was disrespectful that the Bucs gave Ndamukong Suh his number. This is the quote. I'm one of the best players to ever play in the organization. I'm going to say it. Usually I wouldn't, but I'm going to say it. It kind of shows the respect and how they feel about me. I earned that respect. Tampa hasn't been a winning team, and we all know it's hard to be considered a Pro Bowl, all-pro person on a losing team. And I did it six straight years. That's hard to do. For the respect I received after doing that, they showed none, and I don't know why. Warren Sapp, who served as a mentor for McCoy throughout his career, disagreed, however. Quote, he didn't have no chips, as in championships, in his game. No defensive player of the year. That's what Brooks, and that's what Leroy Selman did. Lynch got his name in two damn Ring of Honors. What am I missing here, Gerald? You're talking about something silly. Come on, man, stop. If you're mad, you're mad. But don't put it on the organization that the organization did it. Every NFL team has to move on. He's a damn good player. A damn good player. But not even close to a legend. You damn sure don't get legendary status or tell somebody to put your jersey up if you don't take them to playoff games. Not one playoff game. This is interesting. This is so interesting to me because I actually agree with Warren Sapp. I actually, like, Gerald McCoy seems like the awesome dude. He seems like a really humble guy. Gerald McCoy seems like he gets it and is an athlete that you would love to sit down and hang out with for a day. But Gerald McCoy is not legendary. Gerald McCoy is, I have to agree with everything that Warren Sapp said. Like, what is Gerald McCoy, what is he drinking? What did somebody slip into his water? What has he been smoking? Like, he thinks that he's good enough to wear, no one should ever wear his number again for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Like, when I think of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I don't think of Gerald McCoy at all. I think of Sapp. I think of Brooks. I think of Leroy Selman. I think of John Lynch. I think of Rondé Barber. I think of Ward Dunn. I mean, is he serious? He can't be serious. Gerald McCoy? He's demanding that they retire his... Dude, you're still playing football. He hasn't retired.
What I don't understand is when somebody comes out and says, I'm one of the best to ever play in the organization. I'm one of the best. Nobody self-proclaims themselves to be a legend. Other people say that.
Well, no.
I mean...
I don't have a problem with that. Well, I don't have a problem. No. I don't have a problem with if Jerry Rice was to come out and say, I'm one of the best to ever play for the San Francisco 49ers.
But that's undebatable.
But that's the point, though. The point is that you can't say it. The point is it true?
Well, you mentioned all these other guys, and I'm going to take it a little bit closer to home. Was John Randall upset when they gave 93 to Kevin Williams? Was Ahmad Rashad upset when they gave 28 to Robert Tate and then Adrian Peterson? Why Robert Tate? I don't know. It's one of the most random jerseys that I've got. Or, I mean, you've got 84, Randy Moss. Number not retired yet, but he's in the Ring of Honor. The number went to Cordarrelle Patterson, and now it's with Irv Smith. So I don't know. I don't understand it. And I'm with you. I mean, I think of a guy, even like a guy like Mike Allstott, when I think of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I don't think Gerald McCoy is a good player, but he doesn't strike me as being a legend. I mean, oh man, the Lynch, Sapp.
Derrick Brooks. This is he's inflated what he thinks he is to that organization. Like you didn't win anything. You didn't win anything. Think about this.
But he's got all these personal accolades.
Think about this. Is Gerald McCoy ever going to make an all-decade team? Is Gerald McCoy? When has anybody ever looked at Gerald McCoy as being one of the best defensive players in the National Football League? Now, clearly he's had some good years, and he's been a good player. I'm not taking that away from him. But are you kidding me? Like, legitimately, he's got to get over it, man. I'm with Warren Sapp on this one, man. And Gerald McCoy don't have to like Warren Sapp, but I'm Warren Sapp. He's right, man. I'm sorry. Gerald McCoy, no.
And he's not going to go down as one of the all-time greats either. And that's where the Jerry Rice thing comes in. It's like Gerald McCoy, he's good. He's not great. Is he going to be remembered in 10 to 15 to 20 years by NFL fans as being an iconic player? No, he's not. People are going to remember Warren Sapp. People aren't going to remember Gerald McCoy after he retires. I forgot that Tampa released him and that he signed with Carolina. That's how much I remember Gerald McCoy.
It's unbelievable. All right, final segment of the show. I think that Jerry just fell off. Maybe this is Jerry calling back in. If Jerry from Roseville wants to chime in, we'll take his phone call and get to headlines before we're done at 1 o'clock here on Lake Night. We're going to make it fast here, final segment. We'll get to headlines here in a couple of minutes. But Jerry in Roseville, he's wanting to check in on a late night. What's up, Jerry? Jerry?
Hey, Malik, you rock the house.
Hey, man, Coon Rapids and over rocks the house. Those little kids, man, they're advancing in the Little League World Series.
I know. That's so awesome. And, there'll be a tough game on Sunday against the Virginia team, and that's fine.
I haven't seen the Virginia team, but they look pretty solid against that Kentucky team today.
Yeah, no, I...
Where are you coming from, Jerry?
I'm at a really nice place called Gordy's in Little Canada, having a nice cigar and having a great time.
Jerry's having a nice little cigar, a little drinky-drinky in Little Canada.
I think he's cocktailing around.
Jerry, I hear you.
Yeah. My strength and growth is way off, so I have a nice Uber home, and that will be fine. I tell you, sorry.
Jerry, you're the best, man. I love it, man. I love it. Hey, it is... Hold on, it's Friday night. It's after a Twins win. We just increased the lead in the AL Central. Man, you toast that bad boy up. You bring up that cigar and you just rock out, my man.
Indeed. And
when you get in that damn Uber, you tell them to put it on 830 WCCO. You tell him, Jerry. You tell him you don't want no music. You want it on the Good Neighbor, baby.
Just one other thing.
Yeah.
Rice, White, is it something? How he's gone through everything. Rice White,
Royce White,
basketball player.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he tried MRA. No, that wasn't going to work. And
he's
older during the summer.
Yeah, and thanks to the phone call. Hey, Jerry, hey, get home safely, my man. Right now he's playing in the Big Three. And Royce White is still young enough and I think good enough to play in the NBA. But forget about Royce White. I know he asked about Royce White. Hold on. Forget about headlines. Forget about headlines. We're not doing headlines. You know what I think of headlines tonight? That's the end of the rundown.
Oh, you are like legit. You legit. Dude, I.
You know what I think of? Hold on.
All of my work. Gone.
Jerry's the GOAT. Jerry's the GOAT. Jerry is in Little Canada getting lit.
See, I used to live in Little Canada, and when he said, like, Gordy's, I'm like...
I couldn't make out what he said. Gordy's?
I couldn't remember it, so I had to Google it, and I found it.
Gordy's.
Good for him, man. Hey, you know, yeah, Friday, cocktail it out, man. Good for him.
And he said he got an Uber. Man.
That's smart, though. That's really smart.
Of course it is. Ain't no drinking and driving.
Way to go, Jerry.
You said Gordy's with a G?
Yeah, I've got it pulled up right here.
Gordy's Little Canada, right?
Yeah, just Google it. Gordy's place. I think it's actually like down the road from the apartment complex that I used to live in. Too.
Gordy's place.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh! Hold on for a second.
I don't know if that's the right place. That's what I was making out. I could be wrong, but
no. This is probably the right place.
Okay.
He said he had a cigar.
Yeah.
He is having a couple cocktails.
Uh huh.
He's gonna be in an Uber. Who rolling with him? Who's rolling with Jerry? Jerry got a hot one tonight. Jerry loved it, too.
You think it's ending up in one of those nights for Jerry?
Jerry, you better tell that Uber to put it on CCO. You tell him, hey, put it on the Good Neighbor. And Jerry has time to drink some more. They don't close till 2. Let me look at this place. Gordy's place.
Looks like a cool little dive bar.
It does. cash only, ATM available.
No, that's when you know it's good. When it's cash only, you know it's a place to be,
now,
man.
Now, this picture goes back to 2017. So maybe they take card now, but, oh, and they got pool tabs.
What's more Minnesota than something that just takes cash and pull tabs?
They got darts. What else they got? Gordy's Place. Oh, man, this is just, this is, that was an epic phone call. No, that was a drop the mic for Jerry. Jerry calls a lot. He's a regular. He's a part of the family. But my goodness, that was just, and I'm just doing a quick Google search.
Do you think they'd ever allow a remote? Yeah, maybe.
You can go out there. We'll do a remote in a lot of different places.
You can go hang out with, we can hang out with Jerry.
Man, look.
You know?
Maybe Jerry can start a GoFundMe and we can do a show at Gordy's.
At Gordy's?
I mean, Jerry was lit.
He was having a good time, man.
Yeah, that's an understatement.
I don't even think it matters what the Twins did. Jerry was going to have a good time tonight no matter what.
Oh, my
God. Good for him. Good for him, man.
Hey, Jerry, if you still listen, make sure you pull a nice little pool tab tonight, baby. Make that money. Jerry's having a ball.
You think the next time that he calls, he's going to remember that call or anything else?
Hey, look, I probably not. Probably not. I had fun watching the Twins tonight. I had fun with you doing the show. But you know who wins tonight on this Friday night?
Jerry.
Jerry's having more fun than any of us.
Jerry. Oh.
Jerry's living his best life right now.
Would that be what the kids are saying, stay woke? Is that what that means?
Oh, he's more than woke.
He's more than woke?
Hey, by the way, I do want to mention this. The Minnesota Twins are on pace to make Major League Baseball history, breaking the team home run record for a single season. With that in mind, we're giving the fans the chance to predict the date that the record-setting home run will be hit. WCCORadio.com. Check it out. We have a contest. Those who predict the date correctly will be entered to win an autographed jersey, bat, and ball. Check it out. We'll check you guys out on Monday, back here, late night, CCO. Peace out.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.